UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Did you see that app, that thing that somebody put out there? If you had a gun to your head, awful, but, you know, and you had to sing a song exactly word for word or they pull the trigger.
I saw some great answers.
What song would you do?
I saw two that are amazing. The ABCs.
Well, I don't know, though. You could screw that up because that verse at the end is always sung differently. Now I've said my ABCs. Tell me what you think. There's other people say it differently.
Oh, that's a good point. I was just going to end at Z, but remember
And also, don't forget ABC. The ending gets a little wonky there.
You remember the Perrin Johnson joining us in studio?
Perrin Johnson's in the house. Hey, you want me to go to that guy you like?
Nope, I hate that guy. Please don't do that. Although, I don't know if you saw my my tweet. I said that. When Eric Crawford joined, I retweeted it as EC in the half.
There you go. Thank you.
So, yeah, just for you. But no, remember we found that ABC song, like they changed it up?
Yeah, that was stupid.
Like L, M, N, O, P, and it just was...
It was ridiculous. It really infuriated me.
Yeah, I hated that. The other one I saw was, and there's a great video of a guy singing this at karaoke, Tequila.
What's the only word in it?
Yeah.
Oh. I did the Beatles, Do You Want to Know a Secret? Because when I was little, for some reason, I learned it. And it's only one verse with a two-line bridge, as long as you remember the opening, which is, you'll never know how much I really love you. You'll never know how much I really care. And then it goes into the verse, and it's the exact same verse three times. Nice. They wrote four lines with a bridge in between that two lines. I think I could do that without getting killed.
With a smidgen bit of practice, I could do some Beatles songs, I think. I could do Yellow Submarine.
Well, if the guy's got a gun to your head, he's not going to let you go rehearse. He's coming right
now. I know, but now I'm going to rehearse just in case. No. Because I'm going to take I'm going to take requests. It's going to be Yellow
Submarine. Guy's got a gun to his head. Nick's turning into karaoke. What do you need? What do you want to hear? Some country? What do you need? Rap? What do you need? How about you there, Porky?
We got anybody from Texas in the house?
we got any Motor City Rock guys here? Huh? A little Bob Seger for you guys. What do you think?
Talk about the Wild Wild West. Am I right? Hey, any gunslingers? No, I'm just saying. Kidding. No, it'd be Yellow Submarine, Act Naturally, Hey Jude, or totally taking a left turn here, but probably Fat Lip from Sum 41. That was my jam as a kid.
My initial reaction was 2 Chainz, but I can't always make out exactly what he's saying.
So Big Booty Hill.
You want to sing 2 Chainz?
I just say that's our go-to. That's our default sarcastic.
Dad does like big booty gardening equipment, though.
Yes, I do. A big booty raker. Is this guy holding forever?
Yes.
Who is this, Brian?
Ryan.
Ryan? Birdhead Ryan?
Different Ryan.
A different
no,
Ryan.
No. Kentucky Ryan. The long-haired whitehead boy. You never met me, Bob, but I've got long white hair. But anyway, I've got 3 or 4 of them for you here. Billy Gilbert was in 200 movies, and he was from Louisville. And in the 50s and 60s, the Catholic Church fried the fish in lard. I don't know if y'all know these or not.
Nope.
In Japan, go ahead, Bob.
No, I didn't. You asked, do I know them? I said I didn't know them.
Okay. In Japan, they won't throw dolls away because they believe they have souls.
I should move to Japan. I agree.
Okay. And let's see, there was a one-armed ball player named Graves. Can't remember his first name. He played 1 year in major leagues.
Pete Gray. His name was Pete Gray. Played for the St. Louis Browns.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, you brought a lot of arsenal today there, Ryan. Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah, Pete Gray, back in the war, a lot of the top players were in the service, and he played 1 year with the St. Louis Browns. I think it was St. Louis Browns. Pretty sure. Pete Gray. I want to go look that up.
Didn't go on the air with this, but just keeping with tradition. Softball dad Dustin passed along. We were talking about the Partridge Family. Partridges don't have genitalia. There you go.
Parent, of all days to come in, you came into the genitalia hour. You sure you knew what you were getting into?
We want
to
know Wednesday.
Pete Gray played in 1945 in the St. Louis Browns organization. There was another one-handed pitcher as well, though, by the way. Remember the guy who pitched the no-hitter for the Yankees?
What was the guy named Abbott?
Jim Abbott.
Yeah, and he would throw the ball, then put his glove on
the other hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And don't forget Bucky LaGrange.
Yeah, he's the no-armed shortstop for the
second baseman.
In Family Guy.
Right.
Yeah. So Perrin Johnson's in the house. I didn't know he was coming in. You didn't tell me he was coming in.
I just asked you that.
I could have sworn I did. I told you this.
No, Perrin.
I
mean, don't get me wrong. You're welcome anytime, but he didn't know you did.
I said it on the phone with you.
Oh, my God.
No, I said, we talked earlier when I was here earlier, and then I left, and now I came back. And then I said, is it cool to go in now? He was like, yes, yeah, I don't mean to sell you out, but...
No, that's exactly what I said.
He said, yeah. I said, does your dad know I'm coming on now?
Yes.
And you were like, oh, yeah, we talked about it.
Perry, you have to understand, it's very important that you understand that our show is like Grand Central Station. So people walk in and out whenever the hell they damn please. So that's how State Your Business started. So when you came in, I wasn't sure you were coming on as a guest, or you just wanted to, you know, make a list of the things you just brought to the dry cleaner, because people come in for all sorts of reasons. So.
I did drop off my dry cleaning today, though. I will say
that. I did too.
Hey.
See, great minds think alike.
See, hey, I hit it with the, can you take this back from me?
I had one of those mornings that are ridiculously, I just, you know, they're such mundane things, and I did them all before I came into the show, and I felt so good. That and the fact I'm on speed, evidently, which I wasn't aware of. I'm taking this Sudafed, which got the Sudafed.
Did you buy it?
No, I got it from our pusher back there, Dawn.
Okay, I was going to say, you know, you got to show your ID when you go buy it.
Trust
nowadays.
Me, I'm pretty sure I'm old enough.
But, they make sure you don't make meth.
Oh, I know.
So when you buy that a bunch of
I don't know how Dawn gets away with it then, because she's got a whole factory back there. Hey, Dawn. But what the hell was I talking about? See, I lost my whole train of thought. My mind's racing so fast. Oh, I had one of those mornings. So I got up, and I had to go to one bank. I lost my bank card. I had to go request another one. And then I had to go to a second bank because I'm overdrawn in that bank. So we had to get some money in there before they came and arrested me. And then I dropped off my dry cleaning, and it was a mountain of dry cleaning. Mm-hmm. So that was very, very good. And then I got my insurance, which I feel a little bad about because I changed my insurance from a company whose ads I really like to a company whose ads I don't like at all. But the coverage is cheaper.
What are their names?
I can't mention State Farm and Liberty Mutual. That would be rude.
You know what the fun part is? Like, nobody knows which is which right now.
Well, which ads? Which ads do you like better, and which ones would you hate?
Dad hates the emo.
Oh, the emo!
You don't like the emo? Oh,
that guy's so stupid. It's the stupidest commercial.
They're so dumb. They're great though.
No, they're just dumb.
You don't like the one where they get the key to the city and he puts it on his belt loop and
that's
he drags.
That one's moderately entertaining. But I mean, the State Farm ones are pretty funny. The guy who plays this what's the name? Agent Aaron Rodgers' agent is perfectly cast in that. That guy's funny.
Yeah, yeah, he's good. The agent's great. I like the one with Chris Paul.
Yeah, that guy's funny. With the looking at the clouds, the guy from Saturday Night. That's hilarious.
No, it's The Office.
From The Office, excuse me. Oscar. Thank you. Yes, Oscar. What do you see there? I see a bear. He's ransacking your living room. I suppose you need a vacation. That's pretty good. How jazzed up is PJ for something? Let's see. For his... Oh, yeah. See, this guy's correctly been pointing out, you know, you're not allowed to talk baseball here because then the guys come and scream at. We can talk about the cheerleading coach, but we can't talk about baseball.
Ain't that something? But now here's the thing.
He wants to know how you jazzed up you are about your Dodgers.
Oh, yeah. So
last night,
I was getting ready to go to bed, and then I decided to pour myself a little tequila and do a little dancing in the kitchen because I was like, oh!
I mean, Mookie Betts is in the prime of his life here.
And David Price is still good.
And they got David Price, who's a left-handed, serviceable left-handed pitcher. That's like a quasi-unicorn right now.
But you know what? The Dodgers, I'm just going to tell you like this. We're pissed off. We're pissed off that the Astros cheated.
You should be.
But as an organization, you will never hear a statement from them because...
Well, because honestly, as a player, would you want a ring based on that? Come on.
No, I wouldn't want a ring based on that. But can you imagine, like, it's so funny because I feel bad about Clayton Kershaw because I feel like he's been stereotyped as this guy that can't win a big game.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's pitching to guys knowing.
That's a really good point.
And yeah. now people would say, oh, he can't win the big game. Every time they played in Houston, he just couldn't pitch. Yeah. No, they knew what was coming.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Could you imagine if you went through life and like you knew what was going to happen, how successful you, like if you knew the Powerball numbers or if you knew the horses in the Derby.
Well, that's
Biff Tannen, yeah.
What?
Biff Tannen, the bad
guy.
Yeah,
I was going to say, it's the scene in Back to the Future.
Yeah, could you imagine if you can go get the almanac in 2045 and just go back and then come back now and just be like, oh my God, this guy's a great picker.
I got a question for you now, but we got some good texts on Mark related to what you were saying. That commercial with Bill Murray for the Super Bowl is the best one. That was fantastic. Bill and his brother.
I think he got voted the best one?
Well, it was.
The second one?
It was great. Fantastic.
It was fantastic.
But the question is this. If you could live forever, but have to live in that thing where you wake up every day and it's the same start to the day, would you take it?
Am I rich?
Well, no, it's just like him. He's just a guy who was, no, you can't be rich because all the money you made today would be lost the next day.
If all my family and friends were there, sure.
Well, they would be because nothing changes.
That would be awesome, though.
Other people die. That's what I thought of. But at some point, you'd run out of stuff to do. I would literally get in touch with everybody in my high school class and just track them down. See, I mean, it's an infinite number of days, but at some point, I mean, what would you do? No matter where you go, you can only go so far because the next day you wake up back in that bed in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania.
I wouldn't do that, but it would be fun for a while. I mean, just
like 10 years.
Learning everyone's story like he does in the movie, yeah. Bunch of one-night stands. I mean, you could try. You could learn like all kinds of stuff.
That was his biggest
shoot or shoot, hey!
That's what I'm saying. But eventually, yeah. I mean, they don't remember it, so you don't
That's
get
what
to
I mean.
Like build on those experiences.
What
with
would
those
you
new
try?
Peoples.
What would you try? Like, I would try some stuff.
Oh, I would.
Maybe rob a bank.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It would be kind of fun.
Well, that's what's funny when he says, you'll freeze to death. He says, who cares?
That would be kind of fun that you could experience all kinds of stuff and build towards something. Like how to rob a bank each time going and trying to get a little closer, a little further in the attempt. Or just trying to date a celebrity. That would be kind of fun. Like,
but like you had to
time.
Catch, like, how would you catch them around here? Because, like, would you have enough time to go somewhere to catch a celebrity?
That's a good point. Like, I would definitely need more money in my bank account. And I'd have to pick
a
day
where I
wasn't
like overdraft.
Get
money in your bank account.
I know that's the problem. I would need a day.
Clayton Kershaw, texter to your point, Perrin, says Clayton Kershaw in the 2017 World Series at Dodger Stadium, 11 innings pitch, 1 earned run, a 0.82 ERA. At Minute Maid Park, 4.2 innings pitched, 6 earned runs, a 6.50 ERA.
Yes. I mean, and then, you know, it has to infuriate you because, I mean, not that guys that play sports care about what people say on SportsCenter and et cetera, but like the narrative around Clayton Kershaw is the guy that can't win the game. And I think back to that, I'm like, damn, he might have won the World Series. And the Dodgers might have won the World
How
Series.
How hard it is to just get there and to think you didn't even get a fair shake. But it does lead me to think even more so. I don't know what baseball could do, but Pete Rose has a legitimate gripe. He doesn't need to work in baseball. But the fact that he's excluded from being voted on by the writers, this should let them. I mean, these guys aren't even precluded from working in the game. The only people who lost their jobs are the manager and the general manager.
But they'll get back in baseball
and
again.
They got a year. They'll be back in no time if they want to be.
And the reason why I have a problem with that versus the Pete Rose scenario is this. With the guys that are currently playing baseball right now, those guys that cheated, knowingly cheated, they dictated the outcome on the game.
That's the point.
Pete Rose just gambled on the game.
Yeah, he was trying to. The only way you could say he corrupted the game is he might have tried disproportionately to win that particular game. In other words, if you got a lot of money on one game, he could be burning through his pitching staff that game that he wouldn't normally do in the big picture. But there's no question he was trying to win that
out
game.
There on
minimum
rest.
We're like, God, here we are on an afternoon game in June, and Pete's on pitcher number 9. You know that, but he's trying to win the game. These guys adversely affected the outcome unfairly. I agree with that. By the way, we're getting some great texts in here.
And I'm not trying to downplay that what Pete Rose did was wrong. So I know there's going to be somebody that's going to text that in. So I'm going to go ahead and take the bullets out the gun. But yeah,
nobody's apologizing it away. And he was a jackwad for going 20 years and denying it so strenuously. That's what pissed them off. If you've not seen, by the way, an ESPN called Backstory, they just did it last month. They talked to John Dowd, the prosecutor in that case, and Faye Vincent, who is the John Dowd, the prosecutor, his disdain for Rose almost comes through your television screen. It's like, what is that dripping from the screen? Oh, it's John Dowd's disdain. He can't stand him. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, and also, there's one other thing, and then I want to get to these texts, which I think is interesting. Very interesting. Faye Vincent, I've had him on the show. He's a very honest man. He made the mistake of trying to be the commissioner of the game and forgetting that the owners think he works for them and he should just make decisions that are good for them.
Right.
This was a guy I could respect because he really believed I have the welfare of the game in my hand. They're like, screw you. You're working for us. Who cares about the game? We take care of us. And so they pushed him out. But so when he talks, I tend to listen. He said the problem they had, one of the problems they had as they contemplated things was there were people, and you could say, oh, big deal, who cares? But if I'm baseball, I would care. Ted Williams, I can't remember, but others, like, I'm talking about the, you know, this
the upper echelon.
And then there's the Hall of Fame Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
They told him, if you put that SOB in the Hall of Fame, we'll never set foot in here again, about Pete Rose. That's how much they were pissed about a guy betting on baseball. So he said, what is baseball going to do? I mean, he's great to have Pete in, but if they just, let's play devil's advocate. They say, okay, we'll let you in. And now, and the future Hall of Fame ceremonies, they don't have like Hank Aaron and Ted Williams, and these people wouldn't have shown up. And so you could say, well, the hell with them. But I don't think you can say that. That's what baseball's about. It's about the legacy of the game. And that's how much what he did pissed them off. Now, the argument could be those guys are dying off, some of them, and look at what's going on now with steroids. And those guys are all still eligible to be voted in. They haven't gotten voted in, but they're still eligible.
And you know, it's really amazing that when you look at all the professional sports, the amount of scandal that goes around in baseball and nobody talks about it, from steroids to this. And it's just like, it's not, it's a big deal, but it's almost tainted the game for you a little bit, in a sense, in some of this. It's kind of...
Oh, my God. A little bit. A lot.
I don't know. Like, if this went on the NBA, like, could you imagine that? Like, it would be nuts. No, it would be nuts.
It's crazy.
I remember when we would play on the road, and Coach Pitino would have Dale Johnson, who's the team police officer that travels with the team, him and a couple of other people would just walk the arena to
make
see
sure nobody was in there for shoot around.
And one time we were at Marquette and somebody was in the arena.
That's the day that Dale shot somebody, right? No, I'm making that.
No, but I mean, like, we were at Marquette and we found somebody in the when Tom Crean was the coach, we found somebody in the stadium and they made him leave. But it's just all the stuff with the Patriots, like, even though the Patriots were spying on you, that doesn't mean you can't stop somebody's plays. But with the spy gate and all that other stuff, but to actually have a camera lens.
Okay. And it's great. There's a million examples on the web, too. You can hear the trash can.
Yeah, you can hear it. But the crazy part is you can see the opposing pitchers, like, they'll throw a pitch, and then, like, the guy will hold. The guy will swing away, and then he'll hold and he'll hold. And the pitcher's over there like, what the hell? How does this guy got a – this guy's got a hell of an eye.
Yeah, it's true.
This guy's eye is great.
But like, all right, some texts. Obviously, I'm not unanimous in this. Guy said opposite. I've never seen an Aaron Rodgers commercial that was funny, but the emu guy is amusing at times. I don't think the emu guy is amusing at all when he's asleep in the car and the freaking bird's whacking his head on the window. There's nothing funny about that. Now, the actor one is funny. Liberty Bibbity, that guy, the struggling actor. We can just dub it. How about if I come out of the water? You know, he messes up all the copy. That's amusing.
Yeah.
Do you want me to
get Aaron Rodgers on? Yes.
I'd love to, but do you want me to?
I love the one where he's like, breaking the law, breaking the law.
That was really good. Yeah, that was fun. I mean, the guy says, somebody said a survey that the Aaron Rodgers agent is the most disliked character, but he's a heel. That's what I'm saying. That's right. Why I like him. That's what he's trying to be. Nothing
to be
he does comes across as likable. The one that cracks me up when they put the real agents in there, and he says, so you get in your car and Mahomes? And he goes, Aaron? And Aaron goes, no. And he puts his hand out and he goes to Mahomes. And Mahomes goes, no. And he goes, whatever her name is, Cynthia? And she goes, I don't think so. And that's perfect. I mean, that's exactly what that guy would do.
And then to your point, what you just said, if somebody doesn't like him, then that means the commercial
right.
did the
exactly.
job.
Exactly.
Well, is that the whole Mr. Whipple thing? Like, were those commercials good, or did they just hate Mr. Whipple so much that they were effective?
I don't like commercials that do that, but I understand why they do. Like, I'll be honest with you.
Don't squeeze the Charmin.
Mr. Peanut is a little bit annoying.
So you don't like Baby
Nut? Well, I think
Nut?
That they just manipulated us to kill Mr. Peanut. Of course, you're going to talk about it. And I do like Baby Nut, but why did they have to kill Mr. Peanut to do that?
Yeah, why did they
why
kill
couldn't
Mr.
he
Peanut?
Just have the Kool-Aid guy, you know, pee on the ground or whatever the hell he did, and then have the little nut come up? I mean,
it would have been awesome if they reincarnated him and then, like, made him peanut butter or something cool. like he came back as peanut butter, or like he came back in a Jiffy container, like no. You know,
now you're being a little
maybe like a Damien Omen, like yeah. Antichrist but
here's
peanut.
The problem, though. So now, does this little peanut stay that small? Because I like the old guy. I like the monocle guy in the cane.
Maybe he'll just grow up.
Or does
day.
He come back like Obi-Wan and just pops up randomly, like to talk to young Skywalker, baby nut, like you know,
it's like a ghost.
Yes,
Jedi yeah. ghost peanut.
This yes. we all can agree on. The Allstate Mayhem guy is an absolute grand slam.
Oh yeah, he's still always funny.
Great. That's
he's
fantastic. That is one
I'm
of the
a,
great.
I'm
campaigns.
A 200-pound Saint Bernard, and you're over here tailgating me. Woof, woof. Like, I don't know. Those are killers.
No, those are
that
very
one's
funny.
Awesome. So I was going to put a fan out for his Twitter poll up. Who do you like more? Insurance?
Do you don't
State Farm? Aaron Rodgers agent or the Limu Emu?
Ugh, they're both going to lose.
I just like saying Limu Emu.
If you put the Mayhem guy in, he'll win.
Yeah, no, that's
90
what I'm saying.
Zero.
I was thinking about putting Flo, but now they've embraced the fact people hate Flo.
But why do you hate Flo?
Like, just, I think just because they're tired of just like I don't want to say she's stale because some of the stuff is still funny, but like you just see her so damn much.
You know why people hate Flo? Because Flo made a career out of a commercial for 15 years. She's been Flo. 15, 10, however long it is. Yeah. People hate.
Why do commercials? I mean, what's so funny is that the commercials, insurance commercials now have to be funny. The beer commercials were the funny commercials. Insurance used to be very serious business. Yeah. They would talk to you about, you know, are you protected? Are you, it's your family. Now they're all, Geico's, how many characters does Geico have?
They have. Well, now I mean, they're doing the.
Not Geico. Well, both of them. Well, yeah. Progressive's got her and Jamie.
Yeah.
And then Geico's the got
Geico has so
the
many
prehistoric guy, and then they had the box. And
they
then,
have so many. They're doing a like blast from the past currently, where they bring back a like mascot okay, that they were using.
You guys got to see the best commercials ever. You got to go to YouTube to pull them up. They're called the Slow Skis, and it's a family of turtles, and they're with Comcast commercials, and people come to sell them internet, and they're like, no. We like dial up. We like it slow.
That's
and you
good.
Got, and
I
you
like
got to
that.
See it. And so one time, the turtle's on the laptop, and he's at the kitchen table or countertop. He goes, "This internet's too fast," and he keeps going further and further away from the house, so the internet slows down. And then
the internet slows. That's a good premise.
And then the mother and the father turtle have a baby turtle. And they're trying to teach the baby turtle to say words. And then he goes, "Say dada." And the little baby turtle goes, "Fast." He goes, "Oh, cuss word. Oh my God. Oh my God." And it's the funniest. It's the funniest. You gotta if you have time in your day, the Slow Skis commercial, go Google it on YouTube. It is TV gold.
You know what else is? Uh-oh, we have to have a state your business.
State no, your business. Who's that?
He's leaving. Sparky.
That's Spunky. Intern Spunky slash Mel Gibson.
Intern Spunky.
It's what?
Intern Spunky slash Mel Gibson. He was just wondering about a podcast. He's getting the podcast.
The
he does look like
the funny news series is the just good enough is not good enough. The guy.
That's
hilarious. As soon as I get this little audit taken care of, this gets my undivided attention. Yeah. You sure do spend a lot of time in the islands, Phil. Phil technically is dead. Dennis Celery. That's a pretty good one. And the doctor. Yeah. Just got,
awesome.
Who just got reinstated.
Well, are you kinda. Nervous? Yeah,
okay.
So am I.
The one commercial I did not like, it was a good commercial, but like it just took the fun out of the Super Bowl for a minute for me, was the New York Life one, where all the people like older and they're all like sick or like holding grandbabies and stuff. I'm like, why you got to be so serious? Like, why
and
you
the
gotta
Google one was sad too. When
yeah, the Google one
Alzheimer's
was like
and
that messed me up. That messed
one,
me up a little
from
bit.
A gut punch.
That was like I teared up a little bit on that, and I'm not a crier. And I was like, oh man,
it got.
Yeah, I've been here since the Super Bowl. The open to the Super Bowl would made me cry. Mm. That was spectacular.
Yeah, that was
with the little kid because I had no idea where it was going. The element of surprise. Take it to the house, kid. When Jim Brown says that. That was very, very good.
That was so Carly Lloyd kicking field goals. That was cool. Yeah. Typical, though. Typical.
What?
Locke hated it.
He hated the commercial?
Yeah.
Well, that's because he must have realized how good it was. So he immediately said, well, let's see how I can, you know, people are going to love this. Hell, I got to find some reason to hate it. What possible premise could he have hated it, Fi? Just tell me what that could have been.
He said it was too long.
Too long. It was too long. Wow. I'll tell you, he is, for you Christian friends out there, the good reverend might appreciate this. I had a friend I went to college with who became a minister, and he said, those are the people who will complain at the second coming because the trumpets will be too loud, the lights will be too bright, the songs will be too... I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It's like that.
It was too long.
It's like that friend you got when you buy a... Like, you go buy a brand new Range Rover and you get it in black. He goes, you should have got it in blue, Bob.
Oh, that guy. Yeah.
You should have got it in blue, Bob. Well, you won't buy your ass a blue one when you get the money.
Then we'll come talk. Yeah, I agree with you. Here's the other group that we don't like. This is if you've been subjected to this guy at your dinner table, the late Dan Ingram, God bless your soul, we're using a phrase from you, you're in the honor group of the day. You go to dinner, really hungry, you're all excited, you get the menu, and you say, I'll have the, oh, this looks great. Let me get the special today, pick out what it is. Hey, let me get what your brother likes, the seafood. The
crabs?
No, the other one. The
mussels.
Mussels. Let me get the mussels, and as you do it, the way you go, she goes, ugh, I hate mussels. The person at the table, I hate mussels. I'm not sure I understood the premise here. I was ordering it for me, jackass, not for you. See, that's how it works. I order what I like, you get what you like, and shut the hell up, all right? And let me see. Or if you go around the table and say, how many people like what I ordered? Then at that point, it's perfectly appropriate to say, well, I got to tell you the truth. I don't like mussels. But if not, shut your damn mouth, okay?
Nobody's making you eat the
mussels.
Nobody's
asking you to eat it. Nobody's asked your opinion. Just let me enjoy my dinner and shut up. That drives me nuts, that person. Ugh, I hate mussels. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. Waiter, come back. Did you ask me what I wanted or what this spithead wanted? I couldn't remember because I thought you were asking my order. No, just make sure he's not getting mussels, okay? I mean, that drives me crazy. Shut up and let the people enjoy their damn dinner.
That's the same person that goes to an Italian restaurant and goes, hey, you guys got French wine? Do you know where
God
you're
bless
at?
My brother went with his assistant once. They went to this place. I don't remember what the name of it was. It wasn't a chain, but you can visualize it. It's let's say it's Perrin's Angus House.
Yes.
And there's the pictures of cows on the wall and horns and steers and, you know, and there's branding irons and everything about it is beef and steak and beef and get a beef special and a steak. And he says, you have any fish?
Do you have tuna tartare?
It's like, huh?
What's the catch of the day?
My thing about restaurants is I don't want to see a cartoon, happy, cute version of the animal I'm about to eat.
Yeah, let's call him out on it. I mean, Mark's Feed Store has the cute little pig there. And then you're thinking, what the hell?
Yeah,
I mean, do I have to meet Porky and then carve his ass up? I mean, what is that all about? I mean, seriously. It's like, I'd like to introduce you to dinner. Porky, some say hello to these folks. They're going to be eating the crap out of you in about 3 minutes.
I dated a girl who was, she wouldn't eat red meat because her grandfather... And he had a baby cow and they raised it together. And then the cow, like, got slaughtered because that's what he raised cows for that. So she vowed after that day.
Not anymore.
So,
I mean,
she said, I never eat it again.
Mr. Rogers' approach was he never ate anything. He didn't start his life this way, but as he got older, he never ate anything with a mommy.
Aww.
So I'm not sure. Because I'm telling you, I'm beginning to wonder about that. I mean, you look at me and you'd say he'd never be able to pull it off. But did you see that video I posted of the bird feeding the fish?
Yeah, I love that.
That's unbelievable.
That's so cute. Yeah.
I know. So now we're going to go kill both them, too. Have a little surf and turf. Have a little chicken and fish, and we'll kill all
them. Have you seen the one of, I always thought coyotes, I mean, because they're always the bad guys in the Looney Tunes.
Right.
And they still, like, kill, like, innocent chickens. And, you know, I mean, we kill innocent chickens, too. But still, like, I mean, they steal the chickens from us. How dare they?
Right.
They're always painted as the bad guy.
Right.
There's a video of, there's, like, this nature preserve, and there's a highway going through it. For whatever reason, but they have these tunnels built so the animals can safely cross. They could go from one side of the interstate to the other safely. And there's this, it's a night vision camera, and there's this coyote, and he's hopping around like an excited dog. And this badger comes walking up next to him. And if you've read anything on the internet the past decade, you know, badgers are badass little creatures.
Sure they
look like cuddly little beavers,
they will rip your heart out and watch you bleed.
You know, yeah, they routinely will fight like whole wolf packs. Like, they are the walking embodiment of no spits given.
Yeah.
So he comes waddling up to him, and the two of them are buddies, and they walk down the tunnel together. And they actually, science has found out that they actually hunt together. They're friends. They literally go out on adventures together and then kill innocent chickens.
Mm. You're kidding.
No, but watching
they formed like a like an animal mafia thing?
No, a symbiotic relationship. A team. A team up. A tag team. But watching how excited the like coyote is for his friend to come join him.
What are they, Hobbs and Shaw?
Yeah, no, seriously. Like, yeah, no, really. A little Butch and Sundance. And they walk down the tunnel together. Like, you could see the badger gets his tail up, so all excited to be with his friend. And the coyote's all excited to be with his friend. And you could tell they
could
you know,
live
really
as a vegetarian?
Yeah.
No. I've done meals where I had nothing but vegetables.
Wow, that's like, you know, guy, I stopped smoking from noon till 3 today.
I could do it, especially well
now, especially with these new
impossible.
Oh man,
things,
those
yeah.
things are delicious.
Impossible
god.
Burger.
Oh my god,
they're supposed to have
fantastic.
A teeny bit of meat in there. Sometimes I think it's like 15%.
That's if
meat.
Like you drop it on the floor of your car and it picks up the burger from the day before. But other than that, they're supposed to be.
I will say this though, the most impossible thing of the impossible slider at White Castle
is
getting the GD thing.
I'm not
Why?
Eating White Castle.
They take
ever.
They Why? Take so effing long.
Well,
to
for
make
that
the
because that's
thing.
Not their main. Their main client is the guy who's coming in at 2 a.m. drunk, and he'll eat the damn. I mean, he'll eat the little speaker.
Don't
so just
advertise
give me,
the thing if it's going to take you 2 blanking hours. It's everywhere. The impossible slider, impossible slider, impossible slider. It's the cheese
that's
shop in Monty Python.
That's what's impossible. It's impossible to get.
That's what
they're
I
trying
just
to say.
Said. That's yes. what I just. Yes, it's ridiculous.
Is that what you just said?
I literally just said that. No, I literally just said that joke.
When
Thank
did you just say that? I knew I heard it somewhere.
We want to know Wednesday. We want to know Wednesday.
Because they said they got to do it.
We're back here on the We Want to Know Wednesday. And, I got actually a sports thing I want to get into with Perrin here in a minute that pertains to the game tonight for Louisville and Wake Forest. But this is Birdhead Ryan. Is that who this is? Is this Rhino on line one? Do I have that right?
That is correct. The Emperor of Information.
It's the Emperor of Information. That's right. Where is the where's Tom today? He didn't bring any stuff today. You're alone. You're soloing today.
He's blocking. Hey, listen. First off. Bob, I mean, the disdain in that gentleman's voice earlier, not when you said, are you Birdhead Ryan, and he just was offended. I mean, I'm not that bad of a guy. I mean, I live a pretty good life. I mean, I kind of
let that slide. I'd forgotten that.
Wow. I mean, I may offend people here or there, but I'm a pretty nice guy. My gosh, he was offended.
He did. He didn't let me finish the sentence. No, not Birdhead Ryan. It's like, oh, okay, Woo. Sorry. Yeah, it's a good point. Fair enough.
Well, hey, my we want to know Wednesday, then I'll let you guys get back to it. It actually has to do with the movie Groundhog Day.
Oh, good.
Did you know that Bill Murray actually needed a rabies shot during the filming because he was bitten twice by the groundhog?
I did read that. I saw that after because they were writing some stuff about it again since this commercial came out, and they said they don't know if he got bit this time filming this one, but he did get bit twice there and had to have a rabies shot. How about that? Yes. So.
And I think that was one of the best commercials over the weekend.
Oh, I thought it was my favorite. I've actually watched it a few times since. It's so perfectly done. And in fact, they got the original people. They got his brother to be in it, and the guy who plays Ned Ryerson. That guy's he's perfect in that. So the whole thing was great. Very, very good.
Yeah. I tell you,
is that it, or you got other information? Oh, he's gone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's gone. Wow.
He didn't even wait for a bye. He was like, exit, stage left. Remember that cartoon character? What cartoon character was that? See if you remember that.
Exit, stage left. What? Damn, I know this
one. Oh, see, I'm getting old school here. Who knows what that is? We're not giving prizes away other than the satisfaction of knowing that you have gotten We Want to Know Wednesday V-Show factoid. What cartoon character was Exit, stage left? Oh, that's, yeah.
Was he like a panther or?
Right, very good. And then I'm showing you the answer right here.
It's going to drive me crazy.
That's his name.
Yes, the Pink Panther.
Don't say it. Wasn't the Pink Panther.
No, wasn't the Pink Panther?
No, that's his name. I'm showing you his name right there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Don't say it.
I won't. Right. I will not.
Nope, not Tennessee Tuxedo. He was a cat. He did look a little bit like Pink Panther, a little bit. But he spoke. Pink Panther never spoke. never smoked either, for that matter, as far as I know. Let's see if this is him talking here, if I can get it. See if we can get it up here. Oh, here it is. There it is, right here. Here it comes. That's it. Snagglepuss, very nice. First guy said Snaggletooth. So close, but not it. Snagglepuss, very good, very nice. All right, here's what I want to ask you. You know, one of the reasons I like Jay Billis, because Jay has the authority and the platform to say things that a lot of which I believe, but I don't have the platform. And so it's the same reason people listen to talk show hosts. If your guy can say what you're thinking, you go, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's great. And, you know, Rush Limbaugh made a career of that, basically. He found a whole segment of the population that felt nobody was speaking for them, and he catered to that and became their flag bearer. Yeah. And, you know, that's
I hope
that's,
he's able to beat
lung cancer. Lung cancer is awful. I wouldn't wish that on anybody, of course. But my point is that's what we do. So same thing. I don't have as big a platform as Billis. So when he says it, because I say it's all just a little local whack-a-mole. But Billis says it, and even he gets a lot of pushback. But this is – we were watching the walkthrough for Kansas before the Texas game.
Mm-hmm.
They played on Big Monday.
Yes.
And they were going through their paces. They were not noodling around, but – you could see they were not. Now, they just played Saturday a big game against Texas Tech. That factors into it. Short preparation, turnaround time. They were not exactly
sharp,
enthused about everything. So I said to Jay, I said, not exactly wired up for this one, are they? And he said, and it's and coaches and everybody's afraid to say this. You can't say this. He said, you can't get wired up for all of them. And he's exactly right. And that's the truth. Fans don't want to hear that. And, you know, if you paid your money to the game, you want to know that they're giving you their best effort. But the fact is, you can't get wired up for all of them. It's just impossible. You won't. So what happens is you either, I think it's one of two things. You take the approach like my brother Jim took, which was not that you're going to accept it, but when you're really good, he used to believe you had to have some of those games where you just took the time clock, punched the clock, grabbed the lunch bucket, and got it done. It was not exactly a, you know, yeah, let's run through the wall kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you did your prep, you paid attention to the scouting report, and you were good enough that it could be a very workmanlike effort and you could just win the game.
Yes.
Or, that's what I want to ask you, is you played for a guy who took the other approach, which was Rick created artificial urgency for these kinds of games.
Yeah.
He would have made up some crisis here that pick a guy, that guy's not working, we're not going to start him, you know, scream, read the riot act. And I won't say one's right or wrong, it's got Rick into a Hall of Fame, but I think that especially with today's athlete, you got to be honest. And the honesty is they're not going to be as excited playing the Texas team who's really struggling at home as they will when they go on the road to play Baylor. And Louisville's not going to be as excited playing the next to last place. I think they're in last place, right? Wake Forest team.
Yes.
As they are going to play when they play Carolina or Duke or Florida State or any of those people. So I don't know that they're going to be great tonight. And I'm not making excuses ahead of time. If they are great, fantastic. But I don't think it'll be because they're jazzed up about the game. They may just be that good and they're in a nice role right now. But I don't. I think fans that get upset about that, I think Billis is right. It's not possible. I understand John Wynn used to say you want to get it to a level and stay there and you don't want to go up and down. But some degree of up and downness, to make up my own word, it's only human nature, isn't it?
Well, hell, we see that in the NBA all the time.
Of course you do.
But the thing about that is, and what people understand is, I think nowadays you see that more so than ever, because when I was in high school, Bob, we had these Adidas events and Nike events, and they were spread out, and we weren't playing as much as I feel like kids are today.
Well, that's part of it. It's just another game. It's one of 150 games some of these kids have played in a year, the freshmen.
I mean, you got kids that play over 150 games between the spring all the way till July.
That's, what I mean.
That's a lot of games.
That's ridiculous.
That's more games than the NBA plays.
Yep.
So I think what you're seeing right now is you're seeing a lot of these kids, they've played so many games before they've even came to college that they have that mental fatigue. And the other thing is when you have a basketball season, you have two waves of the season. The first is like almost three, really. You have those first games.
You're just excited to be playing.
Yeah, you're ready because you've been killing each other in practice,
right.
And now you're ready to play.
Exactly.
And then you get through those games before you get to conference, and you have one or two or three, maybe four big games before then. And then you get the conference play.
And it starts up a little bit again.
Yeah, and then halfway through conference play, you're just like, oh.
We still got a month.
Man, we didn't go home for Christmas break, and everybody left, and everybody comes back refreshed, and you're just like, ugh. And then you have conference tournament again. And then everybody's gone, and you're a conference tournament, and then you have a tournament.
Excited again.
So you go through these waves of that. But more importantly, I think the biggest difference between when I played for Coach Pitino back in the day and what it is now is we didn't want to deal with the crap that we took care of people and handled business appropriately because we didn't want to deal with what King was losing.
Well, but that's what his approach was. But yes. I think, but A, I'm not sure guys respond to that anymore.
They don't. And I think Jay Billis said it best one year. Remember when Tom Izzo yelled at that kid, the Henry kid, last year, and everybody lost their mind and said, how dare he do that? I think the old guard is phasing out, and the young guard is not – young coaches aren't yellers. They're game managers, and they're people personality managers. Like, they still yell.
Yeah, Brad Stevens is the poster child for the new NBA coach.
Yeah, like the – so if I was going to compare somebody right now that – yells at people but doesn't like do like Coach Pitino per se or a Bobby Knight or a Tom Izzo per se. Jay Wright yells, but he's not like...
Chris is like that.
He's not demonstrative.
Chris will light him up, but yeah. He doesn't do it in a way that the whole arena is seeing him flailing and screaming. 100%. And that's how Jay Wright is. I mean, it's still an emotional game and you're still the boss. But how does it translate into like as you approach, you look at this game tonight from an emotional standpoint. What do you expect? What do you think you'll see?
From a competitor standpoint, you know you're better than Wake Forest. You know Wake Forest is not that good. They're 11-11, I believe.
10-11.
10-11.
I don't even think they're 500.
I mean, the most exciting thing about this game is oh my God, it's Danny Manning. Like I just hate to say it that way, but if you're a basketball junkie like me, it's Danny Manning.
It's Danny Manning right there.
So, but I think what you have to understand is what's at stake, and this team is in control of their destiny. And it goes back to what you said. Like Louisville played Boston College last week. Boston College wasn't playing as hard as they were when they played Duke hard last night. Louisville came out, handled them handedly. But did you watch them play against Duke last night? They came out ready to play.
Well, and they came out hard against Louisville too, BC.
They did, but they didn't. But they laid down after we put them in their place.
Well, that's the challenge. And Louisville's got the bullseye now. They've become the team now, like Duke and Carolina used to. And Virginia has the bullseye on their back right now. They're the first-place team in this league. So yes. You're going to get everybody. I mean, you know, Cal says it all the time about Kentucky, and it's true. But that's where Louisville is now, and that's the danger. You can't come out and, you know, and I don't want to use the word that you can't say on the radio, mess around too much with them.
Because
you let them hang around, and then they believe they can win. But I think that happens. I mean, Texas, they let them hang around for two-thirds of the game, called a timeout, came in, and it wasn't like they were playing poorly early. They're just, you know, those little 50-50 balls. They weren't getting their share of them. They were just, you know, Texas is not nearly as good a rebounding team as Kansas, and they were getting more than their share of rebounds.
Yeah.
That, I think, is what you'll see sometimes. If you see it tonight, I wouldn't be particularly alarmed. Maybe I'm just trying to do it as self-preservation so I don't have to come in tomorrow and listen to the phone calls. See what I mean? First half, Kansas was losing to Texas at home at the end of the first half. But, yeah. I mean, they came out and won, you know, they didn't overwhelm them, but they won comfortably. That's basketball. And especially if you deal with human nature, I mean, you know, because here's the deal. You know, if you're a coach and I go to you and tell you, hey, this is a big game. If I say that after every game, eventually you're going to tune me out and say, dude, every game can't be a big game.
No, but and another thing, when you talk about what people don't understand is this is that time of the year where you know who's going to make the tournament and you know who's not going to make the tournament. So every team has a guy that an agent is in their ear. Whether you want to believe it or not, it's the truth. And those guys that go to schools that aren't that good, like a Boston College, for example, or a Wake Forest, like the John Collins kid that used to play for Wake Forest.
Yep.
You have a guy that's like, look, your agent goes, hey, you play against such and such. Like, if you're a wing on Wake Forest's team, and there's, like, some teams talking about you in the second round tonight, not to say there is, but I'm speaking hypotheticals. There's an agent that's probably been in your ear, and your dad's ear, your family's ear, like, hey, you're going against Jordan Ward tonight. You got to give him, like, 30. So you got to make sure you go out there and give him the business. So when you go to workouts, and NBA teams see you, like, well, it's Jordan Ward and you in the workout. In the head-to-head matchup, you won it.
Right.
So you got to make sure you go handle your business. And I think, and also, you're the number 5 team ranked in the country. There's a bullseye on your back, kind of like how Texas Tech came at you when you were number
Absolutely.
1. You have to understand the territory that you're in.
That, to me, is the bigger challenge, is understanding, you know, it's what they would call an acceptable, it's what I, my acceptable rodent hair analogy. You know what that is?
No, go ahead.
It's kind of disgusting, but true. Right. The food and drug, whoever the people are who certify the food, you know, the grade A.
Yes.
There actually is an acceptable level of rodent hair in certain types of meats. as long as it's below a certain level, it's still sellable and safe.
Yes.
That's how I look at this. Like, you allow an acceptable level of rodent. You don't want any rodent hair.
No, you don't.
And you don't want any rodent hair in the way you play tonight. But understand you might have some, because they're not going to be quite as dialed in as you'd like them to be. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't get outside that acceptable level of rodent hair, you're okay. There, and that may not sound like setting a lofty goal, but I'm just telling you, that's the reality.
And just off the subject for a second, there is a sandwich company that does use grade D meat. I'm not going to say their name for the sake of the conversation. Yes, that is a thing, because my sister used to work in corporate.
No way.
My sister worked in corporate food, and she was like, stay away from this place because they use grade D meat.
A restaurant or a meat seller? Like, it's a
sandwich
brand.
Chain. I'm not going to tell you who it is. I'll tell you later off the air.
Oh, my God. I may go purge. It's not Witch.
No. Thank no, God. Not at all.
Wow. Genesis. It's not Genesis. It's not Genesis. It's not the Windows. None of those people sell subpar food. But what Genesis does do is have an unbelievable deal for Valentine's Day. More romantic than ever this year, because listen up, boys. Have I got a deal for you. Just spend as little as $199 on a fabulous piece of jewelry, and Genesis gives you fresh-cut flowers, a box of chocolates, and a fabulous dinner. Absolutely free. Now, you could do what you want with those, but my suggestion is that you give them to her. I mean, you could buy the jewelry for her and then keep the flowers, the chocolates, and the dinner for yourself, but then she might correctly say, you're a bit of a jackwad. So if you want to really win her over, I would give all those things to her. It's awesome. One-stop shopping. Let me say it again. Any jewelry for $199 or more, and Genesis gives you some fresh-cut flowers from Nansen Craft, a box of chocolates, and a gift card for her dinner at Louisville's exquisite French restaurant. And it is exquisite. It's very good. Have you eaten there? The Brasserie Promo?
Yes, it's great.
Very good. And you're going to love the collection of affordable... I'm going to talk slowly, so I keep talking when the music runs out, because he does this to me every day. I'm not going to let him do it anymore.
Oh, what?
I'm just going to keep talking. Watch how slow I read this. And you're going to love the collection of affordable Valentine's gifts we've put together. We've put together rings and earrings and pendants and bracelets, bands... All the gifts women love. Now, when we say bands, we're talking jewelry. We're not talking about like a group of five people coming to play music at your house. That wouldn't work. Genesis is not in that business. But what they're in is in a classic, wonderful jewelry business with affordable, timeless jewelry that makes the perfect Valentine's gift. So make Valentine's Day this year one to remember with one-stop shopping. Pick out that perfect gift at Genesis Diamond. Spend as little as $199 and get the jewelry, the flowers, the chocolates, and the Brasserie Provence gift card. Add those things in at no charge. Our treat, making a spectacular Valentine's Day present. Just $199, any piece of jewelry, and the flowers, the chocolates, and the gift card all thrown in from your friends at Genesis Diamonds. They're the official jewel of the Louisville Cardinals and the Kentucky Wildcats. Shelbyville Road Plaza, next to Trader Joe's, Supplies Limited, C-Store for details. Perrin, thanks so much.
Thank you.
9 o'clock game. I think maybe we'll have a little nappy poo.
Yeah.
Now the music's not going to play. Is that what you meant?
The take's next. Thanks, BJ.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded. Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.